Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Is not the test for whether or not God has truly
sent us. So when we think about the Lord having sent us into the world, we can't gauge whether or not we're sent based upon if people accept us. So that's the thing that I want to talk about first of all, is that Jesus came, and the Word of God says in John 1 and 11 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But certainly he was sent by God. So the litmus test for being sent by God is certainly not the acceptance of the masses. And we have to certainly be mindful of that, because Jesus is our example, and the servant is not greater than his master. And so we're going to use that as a foundation, that Jesus was sent and certainly he was rejected. And so we must realize, too, that even though God has sent us into this world, he's let us know that he's sending us forth as sheep among wolves. In other words, this world is set against us. Much of what's going on in the world is evil. But even though he's sending us as sheep among wolves, God is with us, and we're able to overcome even in the midst of that. So we're not to fear. But Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. So the first thing is knowing that being sent does not necessarily equate to acceptance. That's something that we have to understand as the sent ones when we're looking at Jesus as our example. Sending us out in Matthew 10 and 16, the word says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. But he gave us instructions, which says, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So he wants us to be wise as serpents, right? But innocent, meek as doves. So we know that serpents are shrewd. You know, they know when to be forceful. They know when to lay low. They're seeming always to be shrewd and plotting. You know, they know how not to just come out. And, you know, the thing about it is, I was reading about serpents today, snakes today, and it says that, you know, nine times out of ten, the snake is not seeking to attack anyway. They would rather pull away from, you know, those who come among them, even including people, but when they feel threatened is when they do strike. But the Word of God tells us to be shrewd as snakes, the Word says. So that's Matthew 10 and 6. Now, what is it that we need to understand as those who are sent? I want you to understand that before you accepted Christ, there are those who had conversation with us. There are those who walked with us. There were those who had who partook in lifestyle, who were partakers in lifestyles with us. In other words, there are those who knew us when. And that's really not so different from Jesus' day. What made it hard for some to accept him was the fact that much of his life he was walking in obscurity. And it's not that he was walking in sin, because he wasn't. He didn't sin, but he walked as those who were just everyday people. But, of course, the wisdom of God was constantly showing up in and through him. But it wasn't until 30 years later that he began to come forth in his ministry. In those last 3 years of his life, he walked in his ministry, full out in his ministry. But before that time, all they knew of him was, well, this is Mary and Joseph the carpenter's son. And that made it so hard for some to accept him, even though he was sent by God, simply because they thought they knew who he was. So that's something that you and I need to be aware of as well, is that people will think that they know you. They'll think that they have you pegged because they have history with you, but Jesus was not just the carpenter's son. I want you to think about that as you read in Matthew 13 and as you read in Mark 6. you know, because that's what many had to say about that. He's just the carpenter's son. They scoffed at him. They said, we know Mary. We know his mother. We know his brothers and his sisters. We know these people. He said, isn't this the carpenter's son? But he was more than just the carpenter's son. And what I want to submit to you today, as one who's sent by God and from God, Jesus has made choice of you, and you have accepted that choice that's been made. You see, the Word of God lets us know that he chose us first. We didn't choose him, but he chose us, and we have accepted that call. So when we do that, Jesus already has a plan for our lives, and whoever the world and our loved ones and others know us to be, it's so much more than that that's wrapped up in the plan of God and that is to be manifested through us. But as a sent one, we have to understand that there's more to the story than where we've come from. Why do I say that? Because people will always seek to, as I said, peg us and paint us into a corner and say that we're supposed to be like this because of where we came from. And they did the same thing with Jesus. So that's why I'm saying the servant is not above his or her master. They scoffed at him because they could not move beyond who they knew him to be. But he was and is, in fact, the Son of God. He is God incarnate. And we have been made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we have to take on that identity and walk in it if we're to walk in the power and the anointing of God. You know, otherwise we'll always be held captive by our past. And that's not the plan of God. God's plan is for us to be empowered by the Holy Ghost who is within us, and to know that just because people don't accept who you are is no indication that you're not who God has called you to be. So those are that's the foundation that I want to lay before us tonight, is that Jesus endured the same thing. He was rejected of men. So acceptance is not what you need in order to be able to prove that you've been sent by God. And first and foremost, those whom you would think would be backing you, the scripture gives us to know right away that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. Have you ever experienced that, where it would appear that those who are closest to you are the ones who reject you? And it's the same thing. It's because they have history with us. So don't be caught off guard by that. You know, God has called us to a work, and it's not time to be distracted now. You know, just because we're not accepted on some level, God is saying you've got to move past that. You've got to move into the realm of where I've called you to be and who I've said that you are in order to be effective in the earth realm, because otherwise your past life will always call to you and hold you in a place that will keep us from being all that it is that we're called to be in Christ. You know, the scriptures give us to know that as ambassadors for him, that we are to speak what he gives us to say. So God has even given us a new frame of reference. And sometimes speaking as ambassadors, we have to speak what God has said. This is most of the time. We're speaking what he has said and not necessarily what it is that we understand or what we agree with, but we're speaking with authority because what we speak comes from God. Now, what I'm sharing with you is that we are to walk in the mold or the example that Jesus has set. So Jesus is one who taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And he has told us that our righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. So our lives are to reflect the authority of the kingdom. Our words reflect the authority of the kingdom. Everything that we do and we say has to not rely on the acceptance of men, but the authority of God. This is what caused people to be amazed at Christ's teaching, is because he was teaching them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. They had to say, never a man spoke like this. I mean, they were really taken aback by the fact that he had that authority. Now, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he gave them, he gave us that same authority. And this is what makes the difference when we've been sent by God, is because we are ambassadors for him, and we speak not of our own, but we speak what he gives us to say, and he backs it up with his authority, authority that comes from the kingdom. It's kingdom authority. Now, I always like to give you scriptures. In Matthew 7 and 29, it talks about the fact that Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, when we go forth, the sent ones, God is saying that you have to be able to move and operate in kingdom authority and not as those who are among you who are using the words of God as they would words from a textbook. See, we know the word of God to be spirit and to be life. And when it is placed in the hands of one who has authority and we respect God's authority, then we speak with authority when we speak of the doctrine of Christ. You can speak with authority when you talk about Christ being real. You know, it's authentic. We're going to talk about some other things with regard to what the Word says about our testimony in just a few minutes. But God has set us apart as the sent ones and has endowed us with power from on high because he wants us to come from a place that's not based on our past or where we've been or what we've learned out of a textbook, but God is calling his church to a place where we operate with kingdom authority, and that's where you will speak, that's where you will teach, that's where you will preach, that's where you will prophesy, all the things, that's where you will flow in word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Any and everything that God has given us to do, you will exhort, you will expound on the word of God. Anything that God has given us to do, we do it with kingdom authority, and it makes a difference. It penetrates, it separates bone and marrow. It goes through and it destroys yokes. It's because of the anointing of God and the authority that comes to the people of God. That authority that we're talking about, they were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he spoke with authority. Another word for that is power. He spoke with power. His words were backed with power because he didn't speak on his own authority. He spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And the word of God gives us to know that we don't speak of our own authority. We speak what the Holy Ghost gives us to speak, and he doesn't speak on his own authority, but what he hears from the Son who hears through the Father, because they're all one. Isn't that something? And we begin to look more and more like not just a lamb, but the Lamb of God, when he tells us he's sending us forth as sheep among wolves. In other words, he's going to clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. He's already done that, okay? He's already done that. We have authority, and we speak just as Jesus spoke, all truth, and the Holy Ghost is the one who speaks through us. So they knew Christ before he began to walk in his ministry, and that was a hindrance to them, not to him. They scoffed at him, and it was a hindrance to them, and that's what we have to know. Those who don't accept the word that God has given, we are to pray for them and keep moving. Do you remember the word that Jesus shared? He always told them, you know, shake the dust from your feet. If they don't accept you, you have to keep moving. We have to remember that there's one who plants, another waters, and it's always God who gives the increase. So when we get busy about kingdom work, you know, don't worry when people reject you, when people don't believe, because the word of God has already told us that's what Jesus was faced with, and that's what we're going to be faced with. But we have to speak with boldness whatever we hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to the church today. So now, we're not sent to our own arena of acceptance, but we are sent as sheep among wolves. Now, that would seem like, wow, that's, you know, that's pretty, why would the Lord do that? That's that's pretty bold. That seems pretty anti whatever you want to say. That everybody wants to say, well, God is just love. Well, he is love. But he's saying to you that my power is going to be reflected in what appears to be weakness. You know, this world is in a bad state right now, but I'm sending you as sheep among wolves, but you're going to have to remember the word. Now, what I want us to think about now is that Jesus learned obedience, things he suffered. We don't like to think about that, but it's Hebrews 5 and 8, and he did that. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We're going to be tried, and we're going to be tested, but it's not something that causes us bewilderment or causes us sadness, because we have joy in the midst of all of that. Because we're tried and we're tested, because God is going to be glorified through us. Do you remember the scripture in Revelation 12 and 11 that talks about we overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Do you remember that? And the word of our testimony? I want to just submit something to you. Nobody else overcomes by your testimony but you. People are encouraged by your testimony. But we triumph over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's Revelation 12 and 11. You know, it says they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the sent ones are going to be tested and tried, because we have to have something that we can remember that causes us to triumph over the enemy. Yes, the blood of the Lamb has already made us victorious, but God has called us to remember what he has already done for us, and to recall that to our minds. That's what gives us hope. If you remember in Lamentations, you can search some scriptures out for yourself. But I want to call your attention to the fact that Jesus was also led into the wilderness, and he was tempted. Why? Because he had to be tried, not only for the enemy to be put in his place, but for Jesus. Remember, he was walking as a man, also divine, but walking as a man. But for Jesus to know that the Father was with him, and to know that the Father would never leave him, that he was faithful, Jesus' faith was being tried and tested. He was led into the wilderness for that reason. And so every child of God who's been sent is going to be tested and tried. Now, we've already triumphed. We are already victorious by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. But what did he do? He had to remember. He had to remember the word of God. And that's what he used against the enemy. So God called to remembrance the word of God for Jesus, and he had to speak the word with authority, which is what we just talked about. He had to use kingdom authority, which is, it goes beyond just scripture memorization. We're not talking about that. We're talking about saying the word from a place where we know it's so. We're speaking the word from a place of agreement. You know, Jesus took authority when he spoke the word, because you got to remember, the enemy was trying to speak the word back to him. He was speaking the word in a sense, but he would always leave something out and misconstrue. And so the scripture has promised that in the needed hour, the Holy Ghost is going to bring to our remembrance the word of God. But we have to grab a hold of that as the sent ones and use it, because the word of God is a weapon that we use, and we speak the word of God with authority. Now, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the other part of using the word of God is that we find ourselves in it. This is how we agree with the word of God. If you remember, as the enemy threw the word at Jesus, he was finding Jesus in it and trying to remind Jesus that, listen, God said, he's not going to allow you to dash your foot against a stone. You can throw yourself off this pinnacle. Angels are going to come to rescue you. God has given you power to turn stones into bread. You see, he knew that Jesus was found in the word. And the enemy will tempt us the same way. But God is saying, I want you to know this word, find yourself in it, but speak it in the time of need with authority. Know how to triumph over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb with the word of God. But he didn't only use that, but the word of his testimony. He knew that God always heard him. He knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. This is what causes us sometimes to falter and to stumble, is because we forget where we came from. See, if we've been sent by God, that has to be at the forefront of our minds. Who sent you? Who sent us? You know, if mama or daddy sent you, yeah, then you got some things to be concerned about, because people pass on. And if you were sent by somebody in your family, you know, they said you'd make a good whatever, and they put you out there, they may not always be around to back you up. But the word of God gives us to know, which we've talked about over the past several weeks, when God sends us, and as his disciples, we're all sent by him into this world. Even though we come as sheep among wolves, God is with us, because the word says he sent us out, he sent his disciples out, and he confirmed the word in them with signs following. He was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So when the Lord has sent us, he's not only sending us, but he's with us, just as though the Father was with Jesus. He said to us, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Jesus is in us now because of the Holy Ghost. So wherever we go, he is, and he's working with us, confirming the word with signs following. He said, I want you to find yourself in this word. I want you to know that you're in here. I want you to know that you're victorious. I want you to know that when you go to a revelation, or as that word is also apocalypse, when you go there, you see yourself in that word, and you find that we win. And so God is saying, I'm giving you a testimony along the way, because there has to be something that I can call to your remembrance that's going to cause you to have hope. You remember that in Lamentations, when it seemed as though, wow, the enemy would have triumphed, and the writer was saying that? He says, but this, Jeremiah, I call to my remembrance. What? The faithfulness of God, all that he's always done. He had his own testimony, and he called to his remembrance what God had done, and the words of his testimony caused him to have hope. And he realized that without the mercies of God, he would have been consumed. So I'm saying tonight that, or whenever you hear this podcast, that God is allowing certain things in our lives, even as we walk through and we're walking through victoriously, tests and trials will come, because we have to be able to have something to recall to our minds to give us the assurance that God is faithful. He will never fail us. And as we look back on where God has brought us from, it gives us the strength to go forward. We cannot succumb to a spirit of hopelessness which has a grip upon the world around us. This is why it's as though we're sent as sheep among wolves, because people become ravenous and they become as wolves when they have no hope. They bite and devour one another. And Scripture admonishes saints against that. Be mindful of the word of God. You know who you are in Christ. Know who sent. Know that you don't have to have a spirit of competitiveness, because God has already made choice of you. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, because if you lose sight of this and you begin to have a spirit of competitiveness and you lose sight of where you are in the word, and the fact that God has made choice of you and that he's with you and that you have authority, kingdom authority, what happens is we begin to bite and devour one another. I'm talking about the body of Christ now. We become as the world, and we begin to bite and devour one another, which is a scheme and a plot of the enemy, because it says that if we're not careful and we don't come out of that mode, we will be consumed of one another. And so that's why the word of God cautions us that we don't go that route, you know, that we stay humble and we realize that God is with us, and that, you know, we don't have to be accepted by the world, but we've already been chosen and we're already victorious. But we have to find ourselves in this word, and we have to use this word with authority. Don't be afraid to use the word of God with authority. Don't shrink back when it's time to go through, because we all have something that we're going to go through. But I'm just trying to give you a different mindset with regard to the test. That's why we rejoice in tests and trials, is because we know that it's working patience in us, and we want patience to have a perfect work, because we know the secret, that as we wait upon the Lord, our strength is renewed. See, the enemy wants us to throw up our hands and give up, but no, the secret is in the wait. Because the scripture has promised, if we'll just wait upon the Lord, even when it gets hard, you know, when the test is bearing down on us, find yourself in the word, call to remembrance the things that God has already done, and therefore we'll have hope, and we'll realize that God's mercy is with us, and we won't be consumed, and we won't become ravenous, and we won't lash out at one another, and we won't become jealous and envious of one another, but we'll wait. And we'll let patience have a perfect work, because the beauty is what happens in the wait, not just the wait itself, but the beauty is if we wait. The triumph is if we wait. If we wait, we're strengthened, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you'll come out of that thing strengthened. Do you remember when Jesus came out of the wilderness? He came out of the wilderness strengthened. The angels had ministered to him, and he had overcome using kingdom authority by the word and by what he remembered of the Father. He had to remember that. And it's no different for us. It's no different for us remembering the will of God, remembering the plan of God, even in those times when we would want to give up. Jesus is our example. He talked about it. He said, listen, if I could have it my way, I'd prefer that this cup would pass from me, but nevertheless, I know what's for me, and what's for me is your will. The will of the Father is my meat. My meat is to do the will of the Father. So not my will, but yours be done. He called to remembrance why he came, why he was sent, and that's my word to you tonight. Is to be encouraged. You're one of the sent ones. You're one of the sent ones. The litmus test is not acceptance. Don't worry about whether or not you're accepted. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. Don't worry about what those who knew you when are saying. They said about Jesus, is not this the carpenter's son? We know his mother. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. Who is this guy? We know about him. We know where he came from, and now he calls himself the Son of God. But we got to know who we are, because that's what Jesus had to go through, and that's what you and I are going to go through. But there's a time now when the Lord is calling for his church to stand. And when we've done all that we know to do, we have to stand, realizing that we're victorious. We have the victory. Aren't you glad about that? I know that I'm glad about that on tonight. We have the victory. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight with regard to the sent ones, characteristics of the sent ones. Amen? They're not looking for acceptance. They realize that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin. They know that already. They know that they have to be tested and tried. But in the midst of that, God calls back to our remembrance why we came and who sent us. Amen. But listen, this is what I want to impress upon you. We will have our final live broadcast on January 20th. January 20th. But you'll be able to go back and listen to as many archived podcasts as you would like. But until the Lord says so, we will cease the live broadcast as of January 20th. So until that time, we're going to ask that you continue to be with us on Monday evening, 7:30 p.m., for When Passion Meets Purpose. Encourage others to come and be with us, because we're going forward. We're going to try some different avenues. We want to see what it is that the Lord is leading us to do in this season. Amen. God bless you. God, we thank you for your great and precious people everywhere. Bless them. Bless those who will listen to this podcast at any time. Let the anointing rest mightily upon their lives, Lord God, for tuning in. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you.